Chapter 5 The Dementor. Tom woke Harry next morning with his usual toothless grin and a cup of tea. Harry got dressed and was just persuading a disgruntled Hedwig to get back into her cage when Ron banged his way into the room, pulling a sweatshirt over his head and looking irritable. "The sooner we get on the train, the better," he said. "At least I can get away from Percy at Hogwarts. Now he's accusing me of dripping tea on his photo of Penelope Clearwater. You know," Ron grimaced, "his girlfriend. She's hidden her face under the frame because her nose has gone all blotchy." "I've got something to tell you," Harry began, but they were interrupted by Fred and George, who had looked in to congratulate Ron on infuriating Percy again. They headed down to breakfast, where Mr. Weasley was reading the front page of the Daily Prophet with a furrowed brow, and Mrs. Weasley was telling Hermione and Ginny about a love potion she had made as a young girl. All three of them were rather giggly. "What were you saying?" Ron asked Harry as they sat down. "Later," Harry muttered, as Percy stormed in. Harry had no chance to speak to Ron or Hermione in the chaos of leaving. They were too busy heaving all their trunks down the leaky cauldron's narrow staircase and piling them up near the door, with Hedwig and Hermes, Percy's screech owl, perched on top in their cages. A small wickerwork basket stood beside the heap of trunks, spitting loudly.
"It's all right, Crookshanks," Hermione cooed through the wickerwork. "I'll let you out on the train."
"You won't," snapped Ron. "What about poor Scabbers, eh?" He pointed at his chest, where a large lump indicated that Scabbers was curled up in his pocket. Mr. Weasley, who had been outside waiting for the Ministry cars, stuck his head inside. "They're here," he said. "Harry, come on!" Mr. Weasley marched Harry across the short stretch of pavement towards the first of two old-fashioned dark green cars, each of which was driven by a furtive-looking wizard wearing a suit of emerald velvet. "In you get, Harry," said Mr. Weasley, glancing up and down the crowded street. Harry got into the back of the car and was shortly joined by Hermione, Ron, and, to Ron's disgust, Percy. The journey to King's Cross was very uneventful compared to Harry's trip on the night bus. The Ministry of Magic cars seemed almost ordinary, though Harry noticed that they could slide through gaps that Uncle Vernon's new company car certainly couldn't have managed. They reached King's Cross with 20 minutes to spare. The Ministry drivers found them trolleys, unloaded their trunks, touched their hats to Mr. Weasley, and drove away, somehow managing to jump to the head of an unmoving queue for the traffic lights. Mr. Weasley kept close to Harry's elbow all the way into the station.
"Right, then," he said, glancing around them. "Let's do this in pairs, as there's so many of us. I'll go through first with Harry."
Mr. Weasley strolled towards the barrier between platforms 9 and 10, pushing Harry's trolley, and apparently very interested in the Intercity 125 that had just arrived at platform 9. With a meaningful look at Harry, he leaned casually against the barrier. Harry imitated him. Next moment, they had fallen sideways through the solid metal onto platform 9 3/4, and looked up to see the Hogwarts Express, a scarlet steam engine puffing smoke over a platform packed with witches and wizards, seeing their children onto the train. Percy and Ginny suddenly appeared behind Harry. They were panting and had apparently taken the barrier at a run.
"Ah, there's Penelope," said Percy, smoothing his hair and going pink again.
Ginny caught Harry's eye, and they both turned away to hide their laughter as Percy strode over to a girl with long, curly hair, walking with his chest thrown out so that she couldn't miss his shiny badge. Once the remaining Weasleys and Hermione had joined them, Harry and Mr. Weasley led the way to the end of the train, past packed compartments, to a carriage that looked quite empty. They loaded the trunks onto it, stowed Hedwig and Crookshanks in the luggage rack, then went back outside to say good-bye to Mr. and Mrs. Weasley. Mrs. Weasley kissed all her children, then Hermione, and finally Harry.
He was embarrassed, but really quite pleased, when she gave him an extra hug.
"Do take care, won't you, Harry?" she said,
as she straightened up, her eyes oddly bright. Then she opened her enormous handbag and said,
"I've made you all sandwiches. Here you are, Ron. No, they're not corned beef. Fred? Where's Fred? Here you are, dear."
"Harry," said Mr. Weasley quietly, "come over here a moment." He jerked his head towards a pillar, and Harry followed him behind it, leaving the others crowded around Mrs. Weasley.
"There's something I've got to tell you before you leave," said Mr. Weasley in a tense voice.
"It's all right, Mr. Weasley," said Harry. "I already know."
"You know? How could you know?"
"I heard you and Mrs. Weasley talking last night. I couldn't help hearing," Harry added quickly. "Sorry."
"That's not the way I'd have chosen for you to find out," said Mr. Weasley, looking anxious.
"No, honestly, it's okay. This way you haven't broken your word to Fudge, and I know what's going on."
"Harry, you must be very scared."
"I'm not," said Harry sincerely. "Really," he added, because Mr. Weasley was looking disbelieving. "I'm not trying to be a hero, but seriously, Sirius Black can't be worse than Voldemort, can he?"
Mr. Weasley flinched at the sound of the name, but overlooked it.
"Harry, I knew you were, well, made of stronger stuff than Fudge seems to think, and I'm obviously pleased that you're not scared, but..."
"Arthur!"
called Mrs. Weasley, who was now shepherding the rest onto the train.
"Arthur, what are you doing? It's about to go."
"He's coming, Molly,"
said Mr. Weasley, but he turned back to Harry and kept talking in a lower and more hurried voice.
"Listen, I want you to give me your word
that I'll be a good boy and stay in the castle," said Harry gloomily.
"Not entirely," said Mr. Weasley, who looked more serious than Harry had ever seen him. "Harry, swear to me you won't go looking for Black."
Harry stared.
"What?"
There was a loud whistle. Guards were walking along the train, slamming all the doors shut.
"Promise me, Harry," said Mr. Weasley, talking more quickly still, "that whatever happens..."
"Why would I go looking for someone I know wants to kill me?" said Harry blankly.
"Swear to me that whatever you might hear..."
"Arthur, quickly!" cried Mrs. Weasley.